You guys ready to roll?
Yes,
Yes,
sir.
sir. All right. Got any questions for me?
We just want to say thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for having us on, and we really appreciate you. And we're big fans of what you're doing.
Well, I
We really
appreciate it.
appreciate it. Like the Georgia Science Network, we really listen a lot. And you were probably one of the first stations that played one of our songs, so we really appreciate it.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys listening to it. I'm a songwriter too. Like I told everybody when I first started this, I don't care where you're at in your journey. It's all a step. So whether you're starting out, been doing it for 100 years, I don't care. Just come on down and we'll talk music.
That's awesome. That's what we're about.
All right. Everybody, this is the Georgia Songbird, and we're here with Love Ran Red. Introduce yourself, guys. Kind of tell a little bit about you.
All right. I'll start with me, and then we'll go around as we got all the guys here together.
Okay.
My name is Obeck. I play rhythm guitar and lead singer for Love Ran Red. I've been playing music for over about 25 years since I was a young teenager, and really enjoy songwriting. It's something that I got a great passion for. The last few years, I've really got serious about it and done some submissions and things, and they have just it's really just been a blessing to see the opportunity that's been open to us that we've really got together and really got serious about this band.
Okay. Who's
All
next?
right, Dusty.
My name is Dusty Smith. I play all kinds of different instruments, but I've played keys and the drum kit for Love Ran Red. I started my music journey when I was in sixth grade and went all the way through 12th grade, performed in Drum Corps International for a couple of years. And then these guys here was like, hey, come play for us. So might as well. Why not?
I'm lead guitarist for Love Ran Red. Started playing guitar when I was 16, started fiddling around with it, and then took it seriously kind of right off the bat. And been playing for about 15 years now and love music, love playing with these guys.
I'm Derek Kuhl. I'm the bassist for Love Ran Reds. I haven't been playing quite as long as these fellas, but I've been playing bass for a while, and I really enjoy the deep tones of the bass, and I can't wait to see where everything goes in the future with the band.
Okay. And you guys are kind of like Christian rock. Is that what you kind of classify your styles?
Yeah, we a lot of be honest with you, we've kind of been in the multi-genre department for a while, and a lot of the awards that we put in on. We're
Okay.
currently in the JMA Josie Music Award nominations and the New Holland Red Carpet over across seas in Europe. And but they kind of our heart is primarily for Christian rock, Christian inspirational music. We're kind of that blue collar guy that gets our hands dirty, that knows what people's going through, and we write from that experience. We want to write inspirational songs that reaches people right where they are and gives them some encouragement.
Okay. Now, do all you guys write?
Yes, I do.
We got a song. Our new album just came out a couple weeks ago, with 10 songs on our new album, and we have all done some co-writing together. There's a song on there called Closer. We all sat down and did a little co-writing on. This guy back here, our lead guitar player Matt Bain, he's phenomenal on lead guitar. He comes up with these awesome riffs, and we a lot of times we'll just throw some lyrics to it. So he kind of came up with the music for it, and we co-wrote on that.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I like band practice because we usually write songs by the end when we're tired of playing and going through our sets. And then we're like, okay, let's play around a little bit and come up with songs. And sometimes those are actually better than the other ones.
Yeah, no doubt.
So how long have you guys been together as a whole?
We started this band in 2021 in about January, February,
Okay.
where we finally got. We just had me and Matt. We have played together for over 10 years. We've played in a lot of praise and worship bands together, and we've played a lot of live shows and stuff together with some other people that play different instruments and things. And we just really felt like it was time to try to do something with what all the songs we wrote and all the music we played together. So then these guys came along, Dusty and Jarrett, and And we just said, you know, let's get this band going, and you know, just to see the success that's already happened, it's been awesome.
Okay. And the band is called Love Ran Red. I always like names of bands. I always like to hear where the story came from. So how did Love Ran Red become the name of the band?
Well, it really came from, you know, we are a band of faith. We're a band that, you know, considered a Christian genre. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you think about the cross and the blood of what Jesus done for us, and one of our personal favorite songs, is a song by Chris Tomlin called At the Cross. And he's got a little chorus in there. It talks about his love ran red. And that just really kind of jumped out to us. And so we took it and ran with it. And it's just, that's kind of where it all got started.
Okay. It's funny. You're not the only band I've talked to that their name came from songs. And I didn't even think about when I named my band, I was like, I didn't think about songs. So it's very interesting that you guys did that. Now, do you guys get to play around town? Are you playing out anywhere?
Yeah, we've got a show coming up next week.
Yeah, we got a competition show right here in the area next week. So this past Christmas season, we were blessed to get to play with the Kelly Crabb and the Bowling Sisters. They were on one end, and we was playing on the other with them at the show on Main Street here in our area. And so we finally just got really going with the live show stuff. We've kind of been practicing. Submitting songs and music, and so we got a competition this Saturday. All of our shows that we got coming up are on our band website. Our website is loveranredofficial.com, and we keep our updated schedule of live events there, tour. But we got a show. It's a competition to play for a bigger venue that's coming up here with a big festival in our area in June. We got another big revival that we'll be playing. It's an outdoor revival style service for the community. It's coming up in June as well. And there's several more shows and things and irons in the fire, but we're working them out right now.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, everything here will be pre-recorded. So if it's all on your website, that's great, because they can just go and look at that and find all the details, because I try to get these out faster, but I've had to now start doing two a week just to catch up. And that's good. I like that. I like the fact that I tell anybody who wants to come on a show, the only two things I ever ask of my guest is, one is always share it with everybody. You know, when it comes out, tell everybody about it. And two is pay it forward. So if you know of any songwriters or bands, independent artists around the area, or just if you know them and we should know about them, send them my way. I'll talk to them.
Awesome. I think it's just totally awesome what you're doing for independent artists. It's just such a blessing.
Well, thank you. Like I said, I've been playing. I'm 45. I've been playing since I was 15 years old, and I still learn stuff every day. My daughter is, we're trying to figure out a drum beat for my song, because I'm horrible with time. I can write and I can sing, and if I have a drum beat, I'll hear it. But otherwise, when I'm first writing, it's like the timing isn't there. And so when I write a song, it's really sometimes off time, and I got to figure out where it's at. And she's in here like, she's getting aggravated. God, I quit. I'm done. I'm not playing anymore right now.
Yeah. And so that's kind of what, you know, how we do. We get together and we practice a lot. And it's kind of going back to what you were saying earlier. We'll just come up with song ideas and things and run with them.
Now, do you guys do just originals, or are you doing cover stuff too?
Yeah, we do a little bit of both. We our new album, we really felt like it was time to go the original direction, to mm-hmm. kind of a whole set list of original songs. But when we play live, we always incorporate some worship songs as well, okay. And some other like that. But we got our own setup where we do our own producing as well. So we do our own mixing and mastering and get that out as well.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask who does your productions and mix and master. But you guys do it yourself?
Yeah, we do it ourselves. We really got serious about it. It's just been really convenient for what we're doing, because our work schedules, we all work full-time jobs as well. So the flexibility of being able to say, hey, we're going to do drums today, or guitar today, or bass today, or whatever the case may be, we can just kind of work it in on our schedule. And then I've got a little home studio at home, and with a little mix set up.
Okay. You mentioned your work. What all do you guys do besides music?
We all work full-time jobs. Most of us work in a factory.
Okay.
Gina stuff been working at Hyperion for about 16 years here in Woodville.
You broke up from where you work at?
A manufacturing plant called Hyperion. I'm a CNC machinist. I've been there for about 16 years.
Okay. I used to work at a baby. When I was 19, I worked at my, I got a girl pregnant, so I had to go to work. So I ended up working at it was a puppy. It was made diapers is what they were, but I made puppy pads and I ran that machine for years. I know that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do the same thing. Me and him actually work in the same factory. So we work full time, 40 plus hours a week. In a factory setting. I'll let these guys tell you a little bit about their work that they do as well.
Okay.
I work in retail at a grocery store. They're exclusive to like Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Alabama. You may have one down your way, a food city. That's where I work at.
Yeah, I think there's one in Adairsville.
Yeah.
Close to where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I work for an agricultural chemical company. We do seed care and fungicide, pesticide, those kind of stuff. And I schedule out the work and back in.
Okay. I own a pest control company, so I do a lot of the pesticides that you probably make, I'm probably using. We use a bifenthrin for mostly.
What is that?
Bifenthrin. It's Telstar is like the name brand of it, but the chemical makeup is bifenthrin because that's like the big thing that we use for pest control here in Georgia.
Yeah, there's a good chance he has some part and some kind of order for that, no doubt.
Yeah, like I said, I remember, every job I've had when I first started, I remember 19, I would go back to the factory stuff. We used to have to put my machine would catch on fire. It was horrible. It was bad about catching on fire. Because it had all this fluff that, you know, you put the mill goes to the mill and it makes the fluff for the diaper and it runs through and it would always like throw fluff. And I told them, I said, it's acting up, something's going on. And they didn't want to listen. I remember this. And then, cause we had these hot glue lines that would seal the puppy pads. And I just remember that the mill caught on fire and it busted the line. The airline for the glue gun and it spread and I'm putting that thing out and the back, and they're very lucky. I'm surprised OSHA didn't get them. The place is closed now, but they had the scent drum, and that big scent drum for puppy pads is alcohol. That's all it is. It's rubbing alcohol. And I'm like, you're lucky. I said, that's the last fire that I fight, because that could have blown the whole back of the daggum building out. And I'm not next time I let the place burn.
Oh man. Oh, dude. So that was
funny.
He wasn't.
Yeah, I remember that. You guys got me thinking about the factory days, and that's cool. So as you can tell, we're going to get off topic and talk about different things. That's just how I usually work, because it's a conversation. We want to get to know you guys as people too, not just musicians. Of course, it's about your music. We want to hear it, but we want to hear how everything came together too. But let's listen to a song. Which song you guys want to do first?
Which one y'all want to do? Down the road?
Road sounds good to me.
I'll share the screen so you get down the road?
Yes.
Okay. Like I said, I'm a songwriter, so I like to hear stories. What is the story behind Down the Road?
Well, this was a song that me and Matt had a little co-write part in this song. It was several years ago. We were actually going to church a little ways from here, outside of the county we live in now. And me and Matt was practicing one evening, and Matt had kind of came in to tell me about how he had, you know, had a bad day at work, that kind of conversation, and you know, how things were just kind of going, and, you know, when you just need to vent a little bit. And the song just kind of hit me, you know, and I remember telling Matt this line. I said, brother, hang in there. It always gets better down the road. And So that song kind of came about, and we started putting some music to that, and we used that title. And we kind of wrote it from the point of view of the everyday person, of what they're going through and some of the struggles that they face, and how sometimes we feel like, you know, we just wonder if we can make it through another day sometimes, you know, because of the challenges that life throws at us. But this song is just all about, you know, how it always gets better down the road.
Down the road, and I know, yes, I know.
guys have to unmute. Dusty, that was a, that's you on there playing?
No, funny thing about that song is that was the by far the first one man Michael ever got together and wrote.
Yeah.
And we actually came over to his house on like a Saturday or something and sat down and wrote it and shelved it for probably a year and a half, 2 years. And then Michael called me one day and was like, let's get this recorded. So we went to a buddy's house and actually sat down and had to actually relearn the song right before we recorded it. And a buddy of ours who was helping us record at the time, because we didn't have the software, that's who playing drums on that track.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've listened to the drums.
It was a really good guy, and we'll give him a shout-out, a guy named Micah Cruz. Okay. It was really he had a recording studio set up, and we kind of – I just called him up, and I said, hey, man, he played with me and Matt in some shows before this band here kind of got together, and we just said, hey, man, we want to drop a track, and he said, well, come on over. And so he actually did the drums and the bass and did the mix and track.
Okay. Yeah, I always like to make I got my little notepad. I always like write notes on here. The one question I always ask everybody is, do you like listening to yourself when you listen to your own music?
Yeah, to be honest with you, you know, when you hear a new song that you write and you know the work that you put in to get there, it still fascinates me. You know, even hearing our songs on the radio now and on social media, and just to see, you know, people at work or in the grocery store or in the community come up and say, man, I checked y'all's music out and it was awesome. That still moves us, but I absolutely love almost daily listening to our own music. You guys,
you know, it's love hate for me. Getting more, we're actually doing like first tracks and stuff and starting the mixing process.
Yeah.
I know I'll probably get on Michael's nerves, but I'm like, hey, my guitar sounds awful here. This segment, I've got to re-record it and then set us back again. But once the finished product's done, I like enjoying it.
Personally, I enjoy it because once you get to that final product and you know all the work that not only yourself put in, but the rest of the band members have put in, and you get to hear that final product, it's just rewarding because you know all that hard work has made a masterpiece for everyone to hear.
Sure.
I always enjoy listening to our music. I mean, I know after you listen to it a couple hundred times, to some people they might think it would get old, but to me, I mean, I love music wholeheartedly. So, and to hear something that you created is really awesome.
So, who kind of influences you guys? I know when you got a band, it's kind of multiple influence. So who influences you guys in your music? What made you want to pick up that guitar or that drum or that bass or keys or whatever? Who influenced you guys?
You know, for me, when I was growing up, I was a classic rock diehard. So there was multiple bands. I used to be a diehard Kiss fan, believe it or not, before I kind of got into the Christian music and stuff now. But probably my biggest influence is really kind of born in the journey that we're in now that really influenced me now is Third Day. That's just that, you know, they kind of stepped down here a couple years back, but I just, you know, when I first got saved and got into the Christian music scene, they were big influencers. Casting Crowns, they're right down there in your backyard, down there in Georgia. So you know, a lot of those have really been an influence to me.
Influences for me is Skillet. They're a big influence for me, not only on the drum portion, but also the keys portion as well. They're just a great band in general. I mean, not only listening to their music, but they've recorded things on YouTube and stuff of them just kind of hanging out and talking and doing all kinds of fun stuff. And they're kind of like us. We all can joke around and have a good time. We can all play music together too. It's just a great thing.
I got several. I think one that kind of got me into guitar was Nirvana and Kurt Cobain when I was 16. Because some of those songs, like they were kind of, you know, straight power chords, kind of four chord progressions. And I was listening. I was like, I think I can maybe do that. And I love their music. So that kind of what got me into it. And then huge Jimi Hendrix fan. Love the Pixies. Joey Santiago's a highly underrated guitarist, in my opinion. And Jimmy Page, Led Zeppelin. Those are kind of my biggest influences for guitar.
I would say my biggest influences are probably bands like AC/DC, Guns N' Roses, people of that era. As far as Christian goes, I would say probably Zach Williams or Corey Asbury, people like that. I like a lot of their songs.
Okay. Yeah, see, I love rock music. I mean, I grew up, and I've said this before in the podcast, the first song I ever remember hearing on the radio was Heartache Tonight by the Eagles. I love the Eagles. That's when I learned to play guitar, I took, my grandfather taught me like the basic chords of GCD. And I took a few lessons, but I can never read music. I don't know if you guys, can any of you guys read music?
I can.
No, sir.
No, we play by ear. We can read tabs, that nature.
Yeah. Tabs is a sin now, but before we didn't have that. So what I would do is I would go get the books from like the Eagles, like the chord book, the sheet music, and I would copy their chord progression and just write a song to the chord progression. That way I didn't have to learn the theory because they already know it. They're not doing it wrong. I just copy whatever they're doing and make it my own. So when I was listening to your guys' song, I kept hearing different kind of melodies in it. And it reminded me a little bit of like John Denver, you know, Take Me Home, Country Road. And then it had like it also reminded me a little bit of Kid Rock. There's a Kid Rock song where he's like singing and that melody. And I'm like, okay. And it's a mixture of, I know Christian band probably doesn't want to be compared with Kid Rock, but it's, that just reminded me.
We from a wide background, that was probably the thing that really drew me to Kiss in my younger days when I first started learning to play music, was just their performance. You know, watching Ace play live was, and he sounded just like what you heard on the album. And, you know, that's a pretty rare thing nowadays. Jimmy Page, some of those old guitarists of old, they just, you know, they didn't have a lot of these pedals and stuff that they had now. They had pure talent. So I think that's what really drew me to them in their style.
Yeah, it was like gain and maybe reverb, I think what they'd have, maybe a wah pedal. Because I just went to a concert, my wife, first time. I don't ever really go to concerts, especially like bigger name concerts, because I'm really cheap. So I'm like, I don't want to pay that much. But she's a veteran, so she got free tickets. We went to go see Alison Krauss and Robert Plant, and it was so great. Yeah, they were in Alabama. We saw them, and like, that's the first concert, but they were amazing live. And I was like, and you mentioned it about that time frame, they had to be able to sing live. And that to me is always a precursor of how to move forward. You got to be able to sound live. Maybe not exactly, because I mean, we know when you're playing live, there's live speed and there's studio speed. The live speed is always faster because you're getting the music and you're grooving and you're excited. We know that's a given, but you got to sound somewhat similar to what the studio sounds like, in my opinion. But you're right, there's so many bands that don't. Now, I have, if you guys have heard the show, you know that I started doing this like during, I used to wait to the end, but I kind of mix it in between. I've got what I call the Wheel of Death. It's just like random questions that get us to kind of loosen up and get you guys and get to know you a little bit better. So we're going to spin that wheel.
Awesome. Here we go.
You got the sound effect. And this is a good one for you guys. Where do you see you guys? Where do you see yourself in like five years?
I think it'd be great to have a small tour, you know, get a little bus and have consistent shows and meet a lot of new people, other bands. I think that'd be my goal for us. I think it'd be great.
Want to set a limit. I want to see us achieve all the awards we can. I want to see us grow this thing and get more opportunities. In 5 years, I'd like to be hanging up the factory job and playing music every weekend somewhere. So it'd be awesome.
In 5 years for me, I would like for us to be able to just kind of tour around and be able to intermingle with all kinds of different people and kind of just, you know, spread our music to them and just be able to not have to worry about going to work every day and just worry about writing new music to put out for everybody to hear.
Me, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I mean, I obviously hope that big things are on the horizon for us, but I think the main thing is that as long as we're, you know, spreading the love of Jesus through our music to everyone, I think that's the main goal for us, for me. But I'm obviously, like I said, I hope there's great big things on the horizon for us.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. I know people when they set their goals, to me personally, the way I always like to do it is I would set like smaller goals to get to. And then I'll add on, like when I first started playing, I was like, okay, my first goal was I want to get a song recorded. That's just what I wanted to do. All right. Got one recorded. Great. Now I want to do an album. Now I want to do a band. And I would take these steps and it was like, okay, it's achievable. And I still want to grow as an artist, as a musician. And I think that's very commendable because a lot of people get in here and like, oh, I want to go with the Grand Ole Opry. That's an end goal. That's kind of a take your step. You know, you gotta walk before you can run, as they always say.
Yeah.
But I like that. So you guys are in West Virginia, right?
No, Southwest.
Southwest.
Yeah, we're close. Close, but we're in the skinny part of Virginia, the birds. Man, because a lot of people explain it.
We're back in the woods of Virginia. So that's probably we're about an hour outside of Roanoke. Roanoke, Virginia.
How is the music scene out there?
Around here, it's different. You've got to kind of have a connection. Believe it or not, it's actually a little bit of a struggle locally because you primarily just got, you know, Christmas events, festivals, that kind of thing. So we've been trying to expand our horizon a little bit and get outside of the area. But again, you know, you got to crawl before you walk, and getting a lot of this local scene stuff has really opened up more doors for what's coming.
Okay. Do you guys try to play festivals and stuff too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you guys use to find these festivals? I always like to ask, there's a website, if you guys didn't, you may even know about it, FestivalNet, but what do you guys use?
We really just hear a lot of word of mouth. In our area, they do a lot of from our town office and stuff. They'll put a lot of stuff out through social media and stuff. Like the competition this Saturday is called A Brews and Bands. So this is a competition that they set up for local bands to send in an application where the top two bands will get to play at a bigger festival that's coming in June called the Chautauqua Festival. And this festival's been around for like 40 plus years. It's people come from out of state. So they it's like a week long festival. There's just a lot of prime time bands that really come through there. So it's a pretty big deal to go win at this competition Saturday to have the opportunity to play for our hometown crowd on a bigger venue.
Okay. Well, I wish you good luck on that because I like playing. I know people don't want competition, but I like competition. I think it's friendly, healthy competition is cool.
You know, it helps us too as a band when you get in these competitions that you get some good, honest feedback of. It kind of gauges where you are. What can we do, or how can we improve that nature as well?
Yeah, and I think if you're open to it, which is cool that you are, that's how you get better. Because, I mean, everybody's going to tell you, oh, you're great, good job. But the things you got to work on. And you guys know it. It's you got to get in that pocket. You got to find that time as a band. And then you'll feel it. There's a feeling you get when you're in the pocket and you're playing and everybody's on time. And there's also a feeling when you're not. I know. Yeah. Trust me, I know. that's why I like band. I like the camaraderie of bands, and I like interviewing bands for that very reason, because to me it's like there's everybody's singer songwriter. When people think of songwriters, I don't think they think more than like the folk Americana music, you know, country. I don't think they really think about the rock and the Christian rock and the pop and R&B. I don't think they think of it that way, but songwriters are global. I mean, it's every genre in the world has songwriters, and that's why I love songwriting. That's why I like hearing stories.
Talking about the pocket you were talking about playing in, that's part of the reason why I love coming to practice and playing live. I think that's one of the best feelings when everybody's kind of on the same wavelength, kind of vibe and playing the song. It's incredible.
Yep. This thing right here is perfect because I record it because I know we're not going to hit it. It's like, all right, wait a minute, we're in a pocket. Let me hit record.
Yeah.
Everybody yeah, practice that. We'll listen to another one of your guys' song. Which one do you want to hear next?
So Long.
Okay. There it is. And tell me the story behind So Long.
This is one of our new songs on our new album that we just got done recording. I lost my lifelong best friend to suicide last year. He took his life, and his family reached out to me and said, would you write something about those kind of left behind what we're feeling from the loss of a loved one? So this is just another one in real life songs. So it's just part of when you lose somebody, kind of your day-to-day life now when they're not here anymore. So that, you know, this could speak to people on a lot of different levels, but that was the inspiration for the song, was to dedicate this to my lifelong best friend and to kind of honor and remember him.
It's been so long since I last saw you. It's been so long since I've seen your face. I've been trying to change my ways since you left. There's been an empty space. Feels like yesterday. We were making plans, living life our way. I didn't see it coming a mile away. I still can't believe it ended this way. It's been so long since I last called you. It's been so long since I heard your voice. Could have made a better choice. You left behind memories and some real good times. So long, my friend. Until we meet again. So long, it's not the end. It's been so long since I heard your voice. You could have made a better choice. You left behind memories and some real good times. You left behind memories and some real good times.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. I just see it's got like another minute of playing time. I was like, okay.
that was the end of it.
Okay. I didn't want to like get me, because some of those songs, you know, where everybody stops, and then you're like, everybody starts clapping, and then you start playing again. They get me every time. That kind of like a 50s vibe that you remind me of the kind of the guitar playing of the 50s. I can't think of it. I have listened so much music, it all runs through my head. And I'm like, okay, what does this remind me of? What does that remind me of? And I know some people don't like that, but when you're hearing somebody for the first time, you compare it to what you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Any kind of feedback is always good feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you guys, is there anybody like around that you guys write with too, or just kind of write with the band?
We've just been writing with the band. I co-wrote another song that hasn't been recorded anything with a pretty popular guy out of Nashville.
Okay.
Well-known songwriter. So I've mostly wrote by myself, mostly other than that, just the band. My wife has actually helped me co-write on some of my recent stuff. And she's really done really good.
Okay. Now, see, my wife won't write room. She helps me sometimes. It's funny because I'll play, and if she really likes the song and I'm trying to figure out where to go with it, and then she gets that songwriter bug, and it keeps you awake and you can't go to sleep, and you're like, oh, I need to play this, and let me think of this, and let me think of that.
I do so much songwriting and music playing a lot of times, and then where I mix it. So my wife normally has to hear it from start to finish on everything. So a lot of times she would prefer to just say, hey, I've heard it like 25,000 times now. It's good, but I don't need to hear it again.
Yep.
You just record a riff or something, you know, fiddling around whenever I'm playing on my own, and then come up with something. And I run it by my fiance first, like, hey, is this a keeper? A riff or something, and from there I'll, write chorus to it or bridge or whatever seems to fit the song, and then send it over to Michael and be like, hey, we get some words for this or anything like that.
All right, to the wheel of death.
Here we go.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do you guys have any phobias?
Mm.
Like, I'm scared of death of snakes. I'm not going to lie. I do not like snakes.
I'll let Dusty go first.
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like heights or roller coasters. Anything else I think I'd be fine with. It's just those two things.
I'm a heights guy, too. Hey, if I get on some kind of high space or anything like that, even if, go to the Empire State Building or whatever, they have the high fencing or whatever where there's no way you can fall off, hey, my legs still get weak. I do not want to mess around.
Yeah.
For me, I'd have to say dirty hands. I wash my hands constantly. Can't stand dirty hands.
Yeah, and I fall into that snake category. If I can see them before they see me, I'm all right. But I really don't like to sneak up on any kind of snake. And in our part of Virginia we're in, there's a lot of rattlesnakes and copperheads. So I don't really care much for snakes.
Yeah, when I was little, I lived in South Georgia. Till I was about five, and I remember playing my little Tonka truck, and it went off the porch. I jump off to get it. I landed right in front of a rattlesnake, and so then I get away from it. I knew then to get away as a kid, but my dad and my papa was out there messing with it, playing around. And then when they taught me to swim, I know you guys are probably old enough too, that some of you, that how do they teach you to swim? Throw you in the water and let you figure it out. That's how I was taught. Well, they did that to me, and a water moccasin popped up behind me. And so my dad had to jump in and get me, because I was like, snake, and I went under the water.
Yeah, that's kind of how it happened for me. My grandparents, they had a creek on their property. And when I was growing up, there's a snake called a black racer. It will actually chase you. And me and one of my brothers and my sister, we just kind of were playing at the creek like we always did. And this black racer chased us over across the street, and I remember running up on my grandfather's porch, and my grandfather went out there and took care of it. But yeah, it was pretty scary.
Yeah, I remember seeing one of the dog here now around the house when I'm up in Cherokee County. The there was a black racer set up like a cobra. It's like neck, because I was like back out, his neck spread out, and I was trying to get at the dog, and I'm like, Daddy, I said, is that a damn cobra? And he comes out and looks at it, and he thought it was at first too. He ended up shooting it, but and he's and it took off. It was a black racer, but yeah, he shot that thing, killed it. I remember. I am not a fan of snake heights. I don't really care for, but it doesn't bother me. I remember going bungee jumping when I was a kid, like 17. I was like, I'm going bungee jumping. I want to do it. I want to jump out of an airplane. I want to do all that stuff. But no snakes. No, thank you. Do you guys remember that old show, Fear Factor?
Yeah.
When they ask you what's your fear, I'm afraid of butterflies. I'm not going to tell the real thing because I know what they're going to do. They're going to put me in a damn bag of snakes. No, thank you. I'm afraid of butterflies. That's right. Just put me in butterflies.
And I always had to eat something absolutely disgusting.
Yep. And I don't care what you say. Hold your nose is not going to help some of that stuff. I remember that show. That show was what made Joe Rogan famous. That was horrible to watch. But you couldn't turn away. Now, do you guys have any bands and stuff around, local bands that you guys like that you've been listening to, or songwriters?
There's a local band in Marion called Forsaken Hero.
Okay.
They're really, I've got a good connection with some of those in that band. And they have really kind of taken off the last couple of years. They've got a pretty good following. They've been nominated into some of the Dove Awards, CMA stuff. So we're trying to build a little more of a bridge with them. Y'all got any more that you can think of?
No, that's really the only one I really listen to.
Yeah.
But you mentioned awards earlier. What award were you up for?
So in the Josie Music Awards, we're nominated for a Fans Choice Award. We're nominated for Multi-Genre Group of the Year. And then we also have a Songwriter Achievement Award. And then we're nominated in Holland overseas in Europe for, what, 7 or 8 nominations?
7 nominations.
Now, are you guys part of, I guess you're part of Josie, you're part of different groups or anything like that? Songwriter groups that you want to give shout out to?
Yeah, we want to give a shout out to, the Josie Music Awards. They've been really good to us. Last year was our first year kind of submitting and just kind of getting involved in that process. And last year, I tell you, they was like over almost 54,000 people put in. And the fact that you had like a 1.8% chance of even getting a nomination, the fact that we had a couple nominations last year, we didn't win any awards. But just to be a nominee, and they have their show at the Grand Ole Opry now every October. They got it coming up soon. And they got information on their website as well, the list of nominees, josiemusicawards.com. And then the Red Holland International Music Awards. These two are the two biggest, largest independent music award shows around. So the fact that we're in year two with the Josies, and we're in for a multi-genre band group of the year, duo of the year, and the Songwriter Achievement Award. Last year, I'd sent in like 5 of my originals, and 3 made it. This year, I was kind of limited on time, and I just sent one in, and that one got picked. So they go through a couple thousand of these demo songs for Songwriter Achievement Award, and they just pick like a top 100, 200 most of the time. And so just to be in that category is a big privilege. And like I say, with we got so many over there with the Red Holland Carpet International Awards. I can't keep up with all of them, but they're on our website. We do have the photos and information on there.
Okay. That's cool. You mentioned Josie's funny. My keyboardist was telling me yesterday after practice about the Josie Awards. Did you ever sign up and put songwriter stuff? I know there's a lady that I co-wrote a song with. Her name is Jana Jennings. She does a lot of the Josie. You see her there all the time, and I've seen it, but I never really looked into it. And I think that's pretty cool that they do that. So I like hearing things about that. Anybody that helps songwriters get exposure, I'm all for it.
And anytime you want to get together, man, we can do some co-writing as well. We'd love to get with you, maybe work on something. And if we can help you get some info on that, we'd love to get you connected.
Yeah. I'll let you guys hear my stuff at the end. We'll play one of mine. I'll let you hear it. Cause you talked about the suicide. My drummer had his friend. We wrote a song for that very thing for PTSD and soldiers who are, are suicidal, because he had a friend that his best friend was killed by a sniper right in front of him. And he kept trying to kill himself. And so Patrick, my drummer, said, we need to do something. Let's write a song. So he's okay. He sat down with me, and I write all the songs, but I give them the songwriting bug, and they want to join. I'm like, I love that. I love co-writing. So I'm in 100%. So we ended up writing, the guy ended up killing himself, but we made a video. We haven't ever edited it down because my lead guitarist moved to Texas, and it's just been so hard to get it. The singer that I sing him now, but the singer that we had at the time, he quit the band. So I was like, okay, this song needs something. We went actually to the VA, the local VA in here in Georgia, in the Bartow County, and we interviewed soldiers, and we had them tell us stories of things that happened. Most of them were Vietnam. So they're telling some, amazing, just horrific stories. And I remember mine and Patrick, he's a drummer. Our daughters were around the same age. They were, I guess, a couple years ago. So that's probably 12, right? Going on 12, 13. And you know how kids are. They're always on the phone. They're talking. They don't want to pay attention. As soon as these guys started talking, they stopped. They sat down. They listened to their stories. And that's all they could talk about through the whole way home.
Awesome to get that hands-on encounter and experience.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we got time. We'll do one more song of your guys. We'll play a couple more questions, and then I'll let you hear that at the end. Because I get long-winded, so if you guys got to go at any time, you better tell me. Otherwise, we'll talk for a while.
No, we're good. Go as long as you want to go, bro.
All right. So what's the last song you guys want to share with everyone?
Give Me a Reason.
Give Me a Reason. All right. And, of course, what's the story behind the song?
This is one of our newer songs, too. This is more on the real-life Christian side of things. It just gets us focused on why we get up every day. You know, one of the most common things we can all come to terms on in our lives is that we all have a reason to do why we're doing what we're doing, and the choices we make, and you know, the places we work, and just everything that we do in our life. And I said, this is just a real life song about how the Lord gives us a reason every day to just keep on going. And even when we feel like we're defeated, we have an opportunity to just to turn to Him for our hope and our strength, and to be able to endure all things.
Why I should change my ways? I'm so tired of running. It won't gain the same old way. I'm searching for answers. My mind's all over the place, and sometimes I wonder how far I've pushed your grace. To turn the other way, I've been so discouraged, filled with hurt and pain. I've taken the long road, making circles all over the place through all of my failures. Will you still love me the same and give me a reason? Yeah. shame. You are the answer. Am I saving grace? I don't have the answers. Will you show me the way in all of my troubles? You are all my hiding place and give me a reason. Give me a reason. You are my reason.
Who's doing a harmony in there?
That is, I need to give her a shout out too. When we do our recording, my 18-year-old daughter, her name is Rachel Kobach. She has an amazing voice. So she does on all of our songs. When you hear the harmony parts, she's the one, the female voice that you hear.
Okay. Will she sing anything out front? Does she lead any singing, or does she just like to hide in the background in harmony?
Yeah, she can lead. I actually wrote a song for her. She graduates next week, so it's a big time for her right now. And so I wrote a song for her specifically to sing, and I hope to get that recorded soon. It's called In the Sky, and it's just talking about the journey of her life from her perspective, and the things that she's dealt with at her age, you know. So she does a phenomenal job. She leads worship in church pretty regularly. And helps out there a whole lot too.
Okay. Yeah. My daughter, like I said, I gave her the songwriting bug as well too. She wants to write. She says, Daddy, we need to write a song. I was like, of course, I'll help you write a song. And she wants to do so much. She wants to play guitar, wants to play drums. So she's teaching her, she's in chorus and she's in band. So she's teaching herself drums. And she wanted me to teach her guitar. So I gave her, I was like, this is how I want you to do it. I gave her Free Falling. Tom Petty, and I showed her how to play it. I said, I want you to work on this, because one, it's an easy transition when you're trying to change on Free Falling. It's very easy to play it, but it will strengthen her hands to play the guitar. And so I left her. I was like, all right, I'll go check on her later. So about a week or so later, I hear her playing guitar, and I walk in there. She's playing Nirvana. She's playing Come As You Are. I'm like, that's not Tom Petty. What are you doing? She goes, I got bored with that. So she's like, she's in there. And she's doing a pretty good job. She wants to play lead. She's learning that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a rhythm guitarist. I'm not a lead guitarist. I can play a little lead, but I'm rhythm. When James moved to Texas, she was probably as heartbroken as the rest of the band, because she said, I wanted him to teach me some Aussie, some Crazy Train, and
I'm kind of like you, where I do a lot of songwriting and singing, lead singing. I just do rhythm guitar. I can do some lead. I have done some lead. But, when you've got a guy that can play like Jimi Hendrix, and he even plays the left-handed guitar, no need for me to try to do any lead. He does a phenomenal job. And many people has kind of compared his style and a lot of our live stuff to Jimi Hendrix. So that's a pretty good company to be in for Matt.
He's shaking his head like, nope. Jim, that's you don't be nobody wants to compare it to Jimmy. Jimmy was a master guitar. Now, do you play left-handed? You said you play left-handed. Now, is it upside down, or you just actually got it strung for left-handed?
It's strung for lefties.
Okay. I had a gentleman on here. He's the second person I met, plays left-handed, but he plays it upside down, right? So he's learned to play guitar upside down. And it's funny, his name is Kenny Owens. He's a local guy here. It's funny, he started in a rap band in the 90s playing drums. He's an amazing drummer, but he's a really, really, really good songwriter too. He's actually working on one of my songs. He said, can I play that one? I said, of course. I'm not going to tell nobody no. You want to play one of my songs? Be my guest. I'm not going to tell you no. But he was playing, and I was sitting there watching, and he told me the story. He said the reason he plays that way is his dad, he's originally from Arkansas. His dad was had a TV show, and he played music, and he almost made it. He got to Nashville, but he would see him on the TV. And so he would mirror him. So in the TV, it was flipped around. And so he learned to play that way. And I'm like, I couldn't do it. I'm left-handed, but I play right-handed. I could not play a left-handed guitar. It would really just, I guess if you learn that way upside down, but it's, to me, that's like, what?
Yeah, that's definitely got a lot of skill to that. So it's something I couldn't do.
Oh, I can't either. I tried to flip it around because I'm left-handed, and I'm like, this is weird because when you play a D, you know, now you're at the top. I was like, I can't make my hand do that. There's no way I can just, I can't, I'm already have the muscle memory to do it the other way. I cannot make my right hand go all the way up to the top and like play a D or even try to bar. It's like, it's so weird because it's backwards. Like I said, because I'm left-handed, when I was learning as a kid, I had to learn to tie my shoes. Well, I'm the only left-handed one in the family. So I did everything backwards. And so they're trying to teach me, and I couldn't get it because I'm doing it backwards.
We have the same story because same thing. I'm the only lefty, and Dad took he's teaching me and my brother to tie the shoes, had a piece of cardboard and put some string through it that teaches how to tie. Mm-hmm. We could play video games after we got it. Well, my brother, you know, got it right off the bat, and I just could not do it. And then finally he was like, here, try this. And then he did it backwards for me, and I picked it up. So yeah, same thing, man.
I just found out my son, he's 26, but my twins are 13. I got a boy and girl set of twins, and he's into boxing now. He wants to be a boxer. So I took him for his lessons. Apparently he's a southpaw. I did not know that. He didn't know that because he does everything right-handed, but he's just naturally a southpaw like me. So it's funny. It's the stuff that they learn, and it makes sense because he's had trouble sometimes learning stuff, and people, I could kind of understand what he was doing. So it makes sense now because the left-handed is different. When you're left-handed, it's different. Everything is backwards. Yeah. I always tell people, if you're left-handed, you just ain't right.
I try to stay away from like power tools, like chainsaws and stuff like that. You know, something that you have to use with that hand, or it's very inconvenient not to.
I became ambidextrous. I had to become ambidextrous for that very reason. So I'm switching back and forth with a hammer in. I'm like left, and I'm going right, or I can do all that. If I shoot pool, I'm shooting left-handed, and I'm eating left-handed. But everything else, I do right-handed, so I know how to do it both ways. I had to learn how to do it both ways because my daddy was not nice to teach me. He would not take the time. So. We got a couple more questions. We guys will play this game. Before we do that, tell everybody where they can find you, all your social media, your websites, all that stuff.
So they can find us on Facebook, Instagram. We got a little bit on Twitter. They can find us on our website at loveranredofficial.com.
TikTok.
We got a TikTok as well.
TikTok I'm not a big fan of. I have one, but I don't know how to use it.
So we're on every social media platform out there. And if they go to the website and scroll down to the bottom of the page, they can click on the icon and it'll take them straight to the link.
Okay. Yeah, that's my son. My oldest son is a IT guy, so he helps me with that stuff when I can't figure it out.
Here's our IT guy as well, right here. Here's our multi IT.
Yeah,
are you the youngest?
Yeah, I'm the youngest as well.
That's why the young ones, it's like the VCR pushing the button, you know, and like, how can you record and watch TV at the same time? It's impossible. Well, guys, thank you for coming on. I've had a good time talking to you.
Likewise. It's been an honor.
We're not done yet, but like I said, we'll play a couple questions and then I'll let you hear that stuff at the end. But I just want to thank you for coming on. And I have such a hard time with Zoom because I get so busy. I forget to send the Zoom prior. So usually it's the day of. I was like, oh, I got to send it. And I'm glad you reminded me, Michael, because I would have been sitting here and it's like, oh, he didn't get it in time because I forgot to send it.
Fine. And if you got a schedule like mine, you know, I've got 5 kids, work full time, play music, got stuff every which way and every which direction. I understand.
Mm-hmm. I've got, so people, if I miss you, it's not on purpose. I've got the twins that are here. I have custody of my niece. I have my full-time job. I have the band, the songwriting, and the podcast. So I am all over the place. I'm scattered brain. So if I forget, I promise it's not on purpose, people. It's just, I get so busy that I had to put it in a calendar. And I don't know if it'll show on the thing, but I like every, I don't know if you guys can see, I guess if I put it in front of the camera, you might. Everything that's purple is something I got to do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
My wife put that in there because she's bad about doing stuff and not telling me till the day of too. She goes, oh, I got to do this, but I can't. Can you go pick them up? I'm like, I don't know. Let me check my schedule. I'm at that age now. Like when I go to the grocery store, if it's not on the list, I ain't buying it.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. Just turned 39 this year. So I'm kind of the senior of the band, and most of us are in our 30s. And then we got the young buck here, Dusty. He's kind of keeping us together on the tech stuff.
He'll straighten you out. He'll make sure you do everything the right way.
Oh, yeah.
All right, couple will of death questions for you guys.
Here we go.
What is the soundtrack of your life?
I tell you, there's a whole lot of songs out there that really speak. But, you know, I will say that probably, and I'll use one of our originals, Down the Road. You know, we all got stories of things that's how life has treated us and how things have done us. And so even more so than writing that song was from even a little more of my personal experiences in life, because, you know, we do struggle, you know, and we see how things are going every day in our world and our economy and everything around us. And it's easy to get caught up in the negativity, but we just got to try to remain positive. So, you know, we got to stay focused on one day at a time. And sometimes we get overwhelmed with life's challenges, but we got to remember that we do have help and hope through our Lord Jesus Christ, who will help us do all things.
I had to pick one. I'd say probably Harvest by Neil Young. Mm-hmm. That's the album that has Old Man and Heart of Gold on it, and several mm-hmm. others that just kind of resonate with me personally and the man I want to be and stuff like that. I think that's what I'd probably choose.
I guess maybe Here I Go Again, because I spend a lot of time alone by myself. So yeah, probably that one.
Okay.
I was going to throw out Kryptonite by Three
Doors.
Well,
yeah, Kryptonite too. I'm a huge Superman fan, so that might be fitting.
I think our original song, Closer, is my soundtrack, because I'm a very goal-oriented person, and I always set goals for myself, like, every week or every day that, hey, I need to get to this part, or I need to get this done, stuff like that. And when I think about that song, it just reminds me that every day, every minute, every second, I'm getting closer to that goal, to accomplishing something big.
Okay. That's good. You mentioned a Superman fan. Are you Marvel, DC?
DC all the way.
Yeah. I asked that question before.
Movies, but I mean, you just can't keep the Man of Steel down.
What do you think about Henry Cavill not being there anymore?
I think it's terrible. My soul right there. Big Henry Cavill fan.
Yeah, I thought he did a good. I mean, I remember the days of Christopher Reeve. Everybody's like, "Oh, you can't replace Christopher Reeve," but he did a really good job. I hate seeing he's not going to be there anymore.
Yeah, that's a killer. I think they made a mistake with that move.
Well, that's like also with Wonder Woman on Gal Gadot. I thought she did a great job because everybody said, "Oh, she's not Linda Carter. She's never going to be it." I mean, I remember watching Linda Carter. Yeah, it's hard to replace those, but Gal Gadot did a great job too. And then now they let her go. I don't know what they're doing. I like comics now. I never read them as a kid, so I'm reading them now. And I have to say, I'm more Marvel than DC, but I do like some of the DC stuff. I don't like how they took the movies and there's no direction there. That they need a direction.
I agree.
They won't listen to me though. What was your first concert?
I think the first one I ever went to was Kenny Chesney, and I think Brad Paisley and Alison Krauss was on tour with him.
That's a good concert.
Yes, it was. It was very good.
Brad Paisley's an amazing guitarist, too.
Yes, sir.
So good.
My first one was I went to see the Pixies play in Asheville, North Carolina, and that was a fantastic show.
I've heard good things about the Pixies. I've never seen their show or listened to them, but I've heard you're not the only person that said that. I've heard they've came up before.
Yeah, they're great. They I really like their approach too. They came in and right from the get go just started playing, really didn't take any breaks. I think they played 30 some songs just start to finish, just no break. It was great.
My first one was Guns N' Roses.
That's a good one to go to.
I was really, really young, and I had a cousin who I lost several years ago. She was like a sister to me, but she was a diehard Guns N' Roses, Metallica, Red Hot Chili Peppers fan, and we went and saw them in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay.
My first ever concert was a Skillet concert. It was a lot of fun. I even got the backstage pass. Got to go back there and kind of meet all of them and intermingle, and it was pretty cool because Jen, she had signed a pair of drumsticks and gave them to people who was back there. It was pretty cool. I don't remember where it was at, but I just remember that experience.
That is cool. I think my first concert, well, the first I was told about, I don't remember, it was I was at the Grand Ole Opry. They said I was jumping around playing on my seat and listening to music. I was probably three, maybe four. I was really, really young. I don't remember. The first one I remember going to was probably Charlie Daniels at Lanierland. It wasn't a big venue, but it was Charlie Daniels. And I remember watching him playing, you know, and of course, when he in Georgia, he always says the devil went down to Georgia last. I don't know anywhere else, but here he always did it last. And he'd play that thing so fast, the strings are starting smoking, and then he just pop, 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 till he pops them all. I remember that. That man could play. I got one more question for you guys before the interview is officially over. This is always the last question I like to ask because I think it's a good way to end it. What's the best advice you ever received?
The best advice that I've ever received is no matter how many times you fall down, you need to keep getting back up. You know, it's every one of us fall short and, you know, and make mistakes in life, but it ain't how many times you fall down. And I always like to use Rocky as a great illustration.
I was about to say, that's a Rocky quote.
It's how many times you get back up in life. So, you know, life's challenges are always going to sometimes come out of left field and catch us off guard and get us down. But we always need to remember, get back up. Don't stay down.
The best advice I have ever been given is don't let someone tell you who you are. You have to define yourself. And that's really stuck with me ever since I was told that, because that kind of made me realize I can make myself whomever I want to be, whether that's, you know, touring with some group or going to a college and getting a degree to do whatever. I mean, it's my choice on what I want to do.
I think mine's kind of in line with Michael's, is just keep moving. Like, you know, life really stinks sometimes. And sometimes it stinks for, you know, an extended period of time, but it will pass. There's always better days ahead. It's all temporary. Keep moving, push through it, you'll get there.
I would say the best advice anyone's ever given me is probably don't change yourself for anyone else. Just, you know, be who you are and stay true to yourself.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I like to end the show with these, because it's all good advice. People can listen to it. And a lot of time it comes to be the same thing, but it's still, it's good to hear for somebody that may be listening, maybe struggling with something at the time, to hear, you know, don't get up. And when you said Rocky, as soon as you started saying that, I thought of Rocky V. I was, oh, he's when he's talking to his son. And then you mentioned Rocky. Like, oh, he did get it from Rocky.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a privilege.
All right, everybody. This is the Georgia Songbirds, and that was Love Ran Red. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.